Christ. Always a pleasure to be up here with my brother Sean, and always when I ask him to preach, he's always willing and congenial and just says, whenever, I will do it, you know. And he is always willing, always ready to serve our God. I don't know if tonight he's going to, he asked me a few questions. When I asked him to preach, he called me back and he's like, can I ask you a couple questions? And so he was doing a poll, and it could be for tonight, but he always, I know that he seeks God and he lets God lead him, and we need to give him that smile tonight. Say a prayer in your heart for him. Follow along in your scriptures, and it's a pleasure to introduce Priest Sean Sprague.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming out this evening. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I'm very glad to see all of you here. Yes, I did have a poll that I tested David with. I've tested quite a few people with this poll, and so I will go ahead and ask you the questions in the poll before I get started, so you can start thinking about these things. The poll was, and this is on average, how many times a day do you say prayer? Okay. You don't all have to tell me. I don't need to know personally. The poll is done. but think about it. How many times a day do you say prayer on average? And you can... Yes?
Whenever I do something wrong, I know what...
Okay. I hope that's not too many times a day then for that. Okay, I talked to a lot of different people in the church, out of the church, and we went from maybe once every day or so up to 24 times a day. And the once every day or so was somebody in the church, and the 24 times a day was somebody out of the church. So it's like, oh my. We were not even close to that person outside the church. I was just amazed. I myself was not even close to the person outside of the church in a number of times per day. So that was my poll, my question. The sermon for tonight has somewhat to do with the poll, but it's not all of it. We're going to hit on a few key words in the scriptures. And as we read these scriptures, think about these key words. Abide, endure, remain firm, and stand. I'm going to start in chapter or John, the 15th chapter, and we're going to start with abide. Fifteenth chapter of John, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so do you notice how many times he tells us to abide? Over and over and over again. Abide in him. Abide in his love. Abide in the vine. Keep his commandments. Remain in him so that our fruit will be brought forth. That's in John. In Hebrews, the third chapter, starting at verse 4, he tells us, well, I'm going to start at verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of much of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We are of his house if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Book of Revelations, the third chapter. Starting at verse 1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. Shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And notice he says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Okay, so these people in this church, they had the name and they had it right and stuff, and there were some of them that were still doing good, but there were a lot of them that had fallen off. And he's telling them, you need to work with those that are still here, that have not died off, that have not completely left. You need to get a hold of them and you need to work with them that so that they'll be able to remain, that they'll be able to hold fast. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to, you can start at verse 1, but I'm not going to start there. He's telling us all the way down through verse 12 in this chapter about the wars and the rumors of wars and kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation and all of these things that are going to happen before the end comes. But then in verse 13, he says, but he, you know, after all of this stuff and after all these things that you're going to go through in the future and all these problems you're going to face and torments and all these things, he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Okay, so that's where I got the sermon from, was that verse right there, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so I started looking up in the scriptures, endure to the end. In the Bible, there's only that one place. It's also in Mark, but it's talking about the same thing. It's the same stuff that Jesus was saying. And it says endure to the end in Mark also. So in the Bible, there's endure, there's abide, there's remain, and there's to stand. In the Book of Mormon, and we just read all the places in the Bible, but in the Book of Mormon, there are 14 places that talk about enduring to the end. And I'm going to read some of them. I'm not going to read all of them, just some. And we'll start at the beginning, 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter. It's page 37. Verse 184 is where we're going to start. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed. They shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. So we're going to get plain and precious things from God written down. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up, to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. 1 Nephi chapter 7, it's page 77. And it is verse 69. But I'm going to start at 66. Wherefore, my brethren, I would that ye should consider that the things which have been written upon the plates of brass are true. And they testify that a man must be obedient to the commandments of God. Wherefore ye need not suppose that I and my Father are the only ones that have testified and also taught them. Wherefore, if ye shall be obedient to the commandments and endure to the end, ye shall be saved at the last day. And thus it is. Amen. Page 108. This is 2 Nephi chapter 6, starting at verse 48. And he commandeth all men that they must repent. So we have to repent and be baptized in his name. That's number 2. Having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name, and endure to the end, if they don't do any of those things, and endure to the end is the last, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it. Page 162. And this is one that I had a star by and a circle around. This is 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, starting at verse 19. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shewn unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance, and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And so we have all of these places, and I'm not going to read the rest of them that are in the Book of Mormon, but I will tell you, 2 Nephi, the 15th chapter, verse 5, it's on page 165. Omni, chapter 1, verse 47, on page 203. Alma, chapter 16, verses 135 through 137, page 422. Alma 18, verses 1 through 2 on page 443. 3 Nephi, the 7th chapter, verse 10, page 644. 3 Nephi, chapter 12, verses 27 through 30 on page 764. Book of Mormon, verse 4, Book of Mormon, chapter 4, verses 93 through 95. That's on page 712 and 713. Moroni, chapter 7, verse 51 through 52 on page 768. And the last one is Moroni, chapter 8, verse 29 on page 771. All of these places tell us that after we have done all of these other commandments, repented, baptized, received the Holy Ghost, have charity in our hearts, if we don't endure until the end, we won't make it. So what does endure mean? What does endure mean to you? I looked up the definition of it in Strong's. I looked it up in Webster's 1828. I looked it up everywhere I could. It means to abide, remain in place, stand fast, maintain one's position or place. Abide, remain, hold fast, stand firm, do all of these things. So how do we do that? How do we endure? If someone was to ask you, okay, I got to repent, I got to be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost, and have the pure love of Christ in me, and then I have to endure to the end, how would you tell them to endure to the end? Oh, when I first started this, I thought, well, you're going to suffer long. But that's actually charity. So it doesn't actually mean the same thing, even though when you're enduring, some of the times you're going to be suffering while you're enduring and maintaining. Like, think about the brother of Jared. Okay? The brother of Jared left the Tower of Babel. They made it through, you know, the wilderness. They crossed a couple of lakes or seas, and they made it to the ocean. And they called the place Moriankomer. And obviously, or to me obviously, it must have been a really nice beach, because they stayed there for 4 years. And things were going so well. I mean, there was obviously plenty of food to eat, fruits growing on trees, I'm going to imagine, papayas, bananas, coconuts, oranges, grapefruit, you know, avocados, what have you, apples, I don't know, but there must have been a lot of fruit there. They had the ocean right there, so there was fish and shrimp and whatever else you might want to get out of the ocean. And they were on the beach. And nothing went wrong, obviously, for 4 years. Were they suffering? It didn't sound like it to me. Did they endure? No. They didn't endure. For 4 years, they were there, and the brother of Jared just forgot to pray. He didn't endure. He didn't maintain his relationship with God. And what happened? God met him on the beach in a cloud and chewed him out royally for 3 hours. Okay? Because he didn't endure. But life was good. There was really no reason to call upon God. Things were going great. That's why he forgot. Okay, so we have to teach the people to endure even when things are going good as well as when things are going bad. It's easy to tell them, well, when things are going bad, you're going to have to suffer through it and maintain. But you got to also tell them, you got to maintain while things are going good. And so you have to tell them how to do that. Think about Noah. Okay? Noah's grandfather was Methuselah. His dad, I think, and I can't remember off the top of my head, his dad's name was Lamech. Am I right? Something like that. Okay. Methuselah lived longer than anyone else on the planet. He lived 990 some years. Okay? Noah lived 969 years, I think. His dad lived only 777 years. Okay? Methuselah had Noah's dad, and Noah's dad died at an early age, 777 years. 5 years before the flood, dad died, 777 years old. Some people say, well, that's where they get lucky number seven. Three sevens, you know, boom, boom, boom. You're lucky because you were dead before the flood. You didn't have to go through all of that. Who had to go through the flood and survive? Noah and his three sons and three daughter-in-laws and his wife. Who was the oldest? Noah. He was 600 and some years old. I think he was 600 years old when the flood hit. And God told him, you get in the boat. Because you get in the boat now. Because in seven, you get in the boat now. You get all the animals in the boat now. Because I'm going to seal the door shut, and in 7 days I'm going to make it rain. Noah told his wife and his kids, get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat. We got to get in the boat. They got in the boat with the animals, and God shut the door and sealed it. No one else could get in the boat. And 7 days later, it started to rain. Where was Grandpa? He was outside. Grandma, aunts, uncles, cousins, anyone else that Noah and his wife and sons and daughter-in-laws knew were all outside. And there wasn't anything anybody could do about it because God sealed the door shut. No one else was going to get on that boat. And in 7 days when it started to rain, like no one had ever seen before and no one has ever seen since, they died. What did Noah have to do? He was the oldest. His kids were like in their 60s. They were babies compared to Noah. Noah had to endure that hardship and yet maintain his place in his worship of God and being God's chosen man to help replenish the earth and teach his boys and his grandkids and great-grandkids and all the other great-great-great-grandkids that came along about God and what God had done and who Adam was and Seth and Enoch. And, you know, Enoch was Methuselah's dad, and Enoch was a really good guy. Enoch was so good and such a righteous person that he didn't even die. God just took him to heaven. That's Methuselah's dad. Noah was a good man. I'm going to say Methuselah was probably a really good guy too. And Noah's dad. Because Noah was a good man. Somebody had to teach him something. Enoch wasn't there when Noah was born. So it wasn't Enoch that taught him. It had to have been Methuselah and Noah's dad that taught him what you need to do to be good. And Noah had to endure the loss of all those people that he loved and endure being the one there in charge, the one that was going to help the kids and the grandkids and everyone else to remember. Good evening. Welcome. Okay, so to endure, it means to maintain one's place, to stand firm. How do you maintain? How do you maintain your car? Do you perform maintenance on your car on a regular basis? I'm supposed to. I'm not real accurate on that 3,000-mile oil change, but I'm right now I'm about 500 miles over, okay? But every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, they suggest you change your oil on your car to do maintenance, plus oil filters, air filters, cabin filters, windshield wipers, brakes, and all of the other sundry things that have to do with maintenance of your car, getting the chassis greased and lubed and all of those things. That's maintenance for your car. How do you perform maintenance for your soul's salvation? What do you do? You know, in my poll, I ask people how many times they say prayer a day on average. And it went from 0 to 1 time a day every other day, which was a member of the church, to 24 times a day, which was someone outside the church. Okay? What does God say that we're supposed to do as far as prayer? How many times a day? It says it in the scriptures, in the Book of Mormon. It says, morning, midday, and night, when you get out into your field, that's when you pray, and as you're out there, you pray over your crops, your flocks, your herds, your family, your children, your wife, pray for your enemies. And when you get done doing all of those prayers, plus ask God to bless your food that you're going to eat 3 times a day, then I want you to pray for your enemies. So how many times a day should you be praying specific prayers? Morning, midday, night. When you get to work, whether you work outside of the house or inside of the house, it doesn't matter, over the things that you got to do for work, and then pray for your families, your wife, kids, all of those things, and pray for your enemies. There's at least 7 times a day that we should be saying prayer for specific things. Okay, you can kind of combine some of them together if you want and maybe squeeze it down to 4, but you might as well just do it 7 times and just get it done, like he said. Okay, and then when you're done saying those specific prayers, he also tells us we're supposed to pray in our heart without ceasing. And when you tell that to somebody that has never done it before, they're like, how in the world am I supposed to do that? I got work to do. I can't just be down on my hands and knees and my head bowed and saying prayer all day long. What are you asking me to do? He wants you to have a conversation with him in your head. You know, as you're doing your job and I'm there and I'm sitting tile and everything, I'm thinking on different things besides setting the tile. All I got to do is make sure that it hits the floor, has thin set in place, it sticks, and it lines up right and it's level. It's not that complicated of a job. You know, it's dried mud being stuck on something with wet mud and then filling up the cracks with more mud. That's what I do. So I can think on other things. And during the day, as I'm doing my job, there are times where I do talk to God and ask him questions, and then sometimes I just tell him, that tree that I saw this morning was beautiful. That was really beautiful, God, and thank you for letting me see that tree. This year you made the colors just jump alive, and it's fantastic. Or it's been a great day, the weather is absolutely perfect. I'm not freezing when I go to the garage, on Halita's not cold. You know, when we cut the tile outside or anything, it's perfect. So those things can go through your head, and you can talk to God in your heart all day long. Okay? So this is part of maintenance, part of enduring. Talk to God. Pray at least 4 times a day for specific things, and then pray in your heart the rest of the day for anything else. And as our sister said, whenever you commit a sin, stop the sin, repent of the sin, and ask for forgiveness. That's another prayer. And yes, we all sin. Sometimes some of us get through the day without committing any sin that day, but there might have been sins from the day before that you forgot about, and so ask him to forgive you. Okay, so that's just one part of maintenance. What else did he tell us to do besides repent and get baptized and receive the Holy Ghost and have charity in our hearts? That you might want to consider maintenance. Go to the book of Moroni, the 6th chapter. Verse 1, and now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized, and they were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit meet that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. And after that they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God to keep them in the right way, to keep them in place on that path, to help them maintain or endure. Their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. And there's more. This is maintenance. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. Okay? That is maintenance. That is how you endure to the end. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost, have charity in your heart, pray. All the time. Four times a day for something specific. The rest of the day, just talk to God in your hearts. And then every chance you get, you meet together with believers of the same thought. We need to maintain and endure to the end. We need to follow what's written in these books. You need to get together with people like that. Don't get together with somebody who says, well, you can say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and accept him as your King, and you're done. That is not enduring to the end. I'm sorry. He says that we have work to do all the days of our life until the end comes, and then we get to rest. Just like he worked for 6 days, and then at the end, when everything was done, he got to rest. We have to maintain until the time comes when our work is done here, then we can rest. Until then, I don't care how many times you say you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not done. You have to endure to the end. If you don't do those things, you won't make it. It says it in both the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Looking for a restroom? Jeff, can you help that man find the restroom? It's kind of complicated. It's downstairs. Sorry. Okay. So we have to maintain to the end. So the last place that it mentions enduring to the end is in Moroni, the 8th chapter. It's page 770 is where I'm going to start. I'm going to start at verse 17. Woe be unto him that shall pervert the ways of the Lord after this manner, for they shall perish, except they repent. And that's thinking that little kids need to be baptized. Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God, and I fear not what man can do. For perfect love casteth out all fear. And I am filled with charity, which is everlasting love. Wherefore, all children are alike unto me. Wherefore, I love little children with a perfect love. and they are all alike and partakers of salvation. For I know that God is not a partial God, neither a changeable being, but he is unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity. In other words, what he said to do, we have to do on a daily basis. Little children cannot repent. Wherefore, it is awful wickedness to deny the pure mercies of God unto them, for they are all alive in him because of his mercy. And he that saith that little children need baptism denieth the mercies of Christ, and setteth at naught the atonement of him and the power of his redemption. Woe unto such, for they are in danger of death, hell, and an endless torment. I speak it boldly, God hath commanded me. Listen unto them and give heed, or they stand against you at the judgment seat of Christ. Behold, that all little children are alive in Christ, and also all they that are without the law. For the power of redemption cometh on all they that have no law. And I had some kids ask me this morning in Sunday school about that. Are there people out there in the world that have never heard of Jesus Christ or God or any of those things, that have never seen a Bible or heard of a Bible, like live in the Amazon jungle, that have never heard any of these things? And I said, well, yeah, probably. And they said, well, what happens to them when they die? I said, they're judged on what they did with what they knew and how they treated people and whether or not they worship false gods, or if they worship the Creator, God, Father. You know, they're judged on what they did with what they knew. And it's not up to us to say whether they're going to go to hell or not. That's up to God. But those people who don't know anything and lived as nice people and treated people the way they should be treated, it says here that the power of redemption cometh on all they that have no law. Wherefore, he that is not condemned, or he that is under no condemnation, cannot repent, and unto such baptism availeth nothing. But, and here's the kicker for the rest of us, it is mockery before God, denying the mercies of Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit, and putting trust in dead works. Behold, my son, this thing had not ought to be, for repentance is unto them that are under condemnation and under the curse of a broken law. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments, and the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart, cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come, when all saints shall dwell with God. Behold, my son, I will write unto you again, if I go not out soon, against the Lamanites. And so we have a definition here of what it means to abide in his love, abide in the vine, remain, or endure to the end. We have to pray. We have to study the scriptures because it says so. We have to do these things on a daily basis. We have to pray for one another on a daily basis. We have to pray for our families. We have to pray for our food that we eat. We have to pray for our jobs. We have to pray for our enemies. We're supposed to meet together as often as possible. When the doors are open, if you can be there, be there. Okay? Because when you're there, you're testifying to the rest of the people that you believe what's written, and that you're maintaining or enduring. We're supposed to bear testimonies to one another about the things that God has done for us. We are supposed to repent. We are supposed to be baptized. We're supposed to have the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to partake of the sacrament. We're supposed to pay tithing. We're supposed to do all of these things. If we don't do these things, then we're not enduring. And it has to be done on a regular basis, just like car maintenance. So enduring or abiding is maintenance. Most people can understand maintenance. They might not get enduring. So tell them maintenance. And then list the things that are on the maintenance list to them. If we will explain it to them that way, maybe everyone will start to pray a little bit more. Maybe. Maybe the seats will get a little bit fuller. I think so. Because everyone that I talked to in the poll, they would call me up later, a couple days later, or I'd see them at church at the end of the week or something, and they'd go, you know, Sean, what you was talking to me about? You know, I started to think about it. And the more I started to think about it, the more I started to pray. And I've actually been studying, because you said that's part of it, and it is, because he said so. Okay, these are lists of things to do. And so when you start telling them and quizzing them, ask them, by the way, how many times do you pray a day on average? Just tell me, because I'm curious. You know, this is what I do. What do you do? And then spring the maintenance thing on them. Okay, you might start seeing more people here on Sunday night. Maybe. Maybe even more people on Sunday morning. Maybe even more people at Sunday school. Talk to your friends and neighbors and the rest of your family that doesn't come to church at all and tell them, look, yes, you got baptized. Yes, you became a member of the church, but you haven't been to church for a long time. What are you doing to endure? Because even though you've done all those things, it says in the scriptures that if you don't endure, you ain't gonna make it. Tell them that. And ask them, do you know what the word endure means? And then throw the maintenance thing at them. You would be surprised at how many people, the light comes on in their head and they start going, oh my. Because I did. When I started realizing what this was saying, it's like, oh man, no wonder things are not going quite so well as they should be, and my car's kind of clunky and sounds bad and sputtering, and you know, this is for me. I need to perform maintenance on a daily basis, and I know I'm not the only one. So, let's tell them, all right? Thank you all for being out. I appreciate it.